friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, coming to you from my basement out here on the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio with us today. We are going to take a look at mass culture, pop culture one more time on this program, as it's mass culture and pop culture that are the pulpits of the day that are influencing the masses into the other religion. And we take on a Christian worldview on this program against the apostatizing worldview of paganism, humanism, materialism, and those worldviews that are slowly but surely eroding each additional generation, especially the millennial generation, drifting off into agnosticism, atheism, pure materialism, and oftentimes sort of the new agey Eastern mysticism. So we're going to talk about these worldviews on this program as we analyze Thor and Star Wars. Somebody just wrote into the program from our listening audience and asked, why do kids like Thor and Star Wars? What's the worldview behind it? I want to see if you studied it or know something about these movies and why young people like Thor so much and Star Wars. It seems that these movies steal our kids' hearts, and they can't wait for the next one to come out. All right, so that's the input we've received to the program. So today we're going to take a look at the worldviews relating to these films. These are the films of a dying civilization. Also the restoration of the Greeks and the old German gods, and just ancient paganism, so it shouldn't be too hard to analyze the worldview.
You mean, Kevin, that it's not just because every little kid wants a big hammer that he can smash things?
Well, I don't think so. I think
there's something deeper than that?
These are the reconstruction of old gods that came from the Germans, the Greeks, and the pagans of the olden days. And, you know, we weren't watching movies like this in the 1950s and 1960s.
You had the television series on Superman back when I was a kid, and then the Superman movie started coming out back in the 70s.
Right, yeah. And then the top box office favorites now, if you look at Box Office Mojo, you'll discover that the top movies that are most popular over the last 10 years and have dominated the box office are sci-fi movies and some of these resurrection of the superheroes, the old German and Greek gods like Thor. So we'll take a look at the worldview of Thor for just a moment, and the worldview obviously is polytheism. As you watch the gods battle it out, now the gods, as presented by the Greeks and the old pagan tribes, were gods who held some degree of power, and they always fought each other for more power, and there was no ultimate supreme god. Of course, polytheism is another way in which man is seeking his own way and trying to avoid dealing with the true and living God. There's no ultimate god in a universe of the superheroes, so keep that in mind. We don't want any of the superheroes to acknowledge any kind of a ultimate or supreme god, because they're just battling it out. Many, many gods, many ethics. Nobody is right. Nobody is wrong. For the time being, you take one side, and then the next movie, you'll take the other side. It really doesn't matter which side you're on. There's no ultimate supreme god who has ultimate power. There's no god that's omnipotent, totally sovereign over all things in a polytheistic worldview. And this is what kids are sucked into as they go to the theaters and they watch the gods battle it out. Now, gods, of course, have a measure of power and are able to bring that power into battle against other gods within a universe that is not governed by any god. So, my friends, that's the worldview of Thor. And children are carefully trained in polytheism in these movies, the meaninglessness of polytheism, and the meaningless wars that are fought out between the gods, achieving nothing meaningful in their wins. The recent movie Thor Ragnarok, which came out a couple of months ago, if you read the script, and I read the script prior to this radio broadcast, it was the thing that stood out from some of the other scripts I've read in relation to these superhero movies is that this one is much more attached to the self-satire. About 95% of the script is wrapped up in self-satire, banality, triteness, impertinence. The characters, the gods, are not taking themselves seriously. They're not taking anybody else seriously. They're not taking the audience seriously. They mock themselves and they mock the audience at the same time. The humor is such that as the audience laughs, the producers want to be sure that the audience is laughing at themselves as they watch the stupid movie. So, friends, this is how the gods express their own vanity. This is perhaps a difference between the way the Greeks would present their gods. They would take their gods a bit more seriously, and they wouldn't express their own vanity in such ways. reminds me of Psalm 96. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Or Isaiah 44. Those who make an image, all of them are useless. Those who make the movies, those who make the films, those who make the superheroes and refuse to acknowledge the sovereign God over heaven and earth and encourage the audience to worship and to submit themselves to the supreme God who made the heavens and the earth. Those who make these images, all of them are useless, and their precious things shall not profit. They are their own witnesses. They neither see nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who would form a god or mold an image that profits him nothing? Surely all his companions would be ashamed, and the workmen, they are mere men. Let them all be gathered together, let them stand up, yet they shall fear, they shall be ashamed together. All right, so that's pretty much the worldview of polytheism. Rarely do the superhero movies ever acknowledge even a little bit to a sovereign god over all things. The Two Towers, the Lord of the Rings series, films do not do that, although Tolkien at points would acknowledge a supreme creator, but the movies definitely would not, and presented witchcraft in sharper tones in the film. So the same thing with the superheroes. Now, I believe that the Spider-Man series at points, I think there was a battle in a church at one point, so they'd crack the window just ever so slightly for the possibility of a Christian God that reigns supreme over all gods. Most of the superhero movies, and certainly those superhero movies that are trying to resurrect the ancient gods of the heathen like Thor, are not going to express the ultimate sovereign God over all things.
And, you know, you mentioned a couple of things. One is that they're a bit sarcastic, and they're a bit irreverent, and they don't take themselves seriously. And that's certainly the case with the Spider-Man movies early on. And even though they don't acknowledge a God, they do acknowledge certain biblical principles. One of the key phrases in one of the early Spider-Man movies was, the uncle says to the young man who turns into Spider-Man, he says, "With great power comes great responsibility." Sometimes a film is worth a line like that, and it's you can use it to teach. But you're right, when people start poking fun at themselves and don't take themselves seriously, and we should. I mean, we should not be too proud.
Right.
But when these characters do that, if I can get an audience to laugh, if I can get a group of people to laugh at a joke that I say, then I can slip in something I want to teach them that they would normally reject if they were thinking solemnly.
And even as we consider, the movies in which there's some kind of redemptive theme, there's a little self-sacrifice, and of course that's always, always, always grasped at desperately by those Christians who want to acknowledge the film as a good film. They forget that they're talking about a window covering, 16 stories up in the air. They're not talking about the foundations, the worldview assumptions, the basic metaphysic that is assumed in the movie itself. So this is the sort of thing that we want to come back to. We want to be sure that our children are discerning the foundations, they're discerning the worldviews assumed in these movies. All right, we'll be back with more in just a moment as we take a look at The Last Jedi in just a moment. It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren.
Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
Back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Bill Jack also in studio as we take a look at the recent movie Fair, The Last Jedi, being the most popular film of the year. Now, of course, it was competing with the homosexual version of the Beauty and the Beast, as well as the feminist Wonder Woman that came out last year, those being the most popular movies of the year. But now this one has managed to nudge out these others as the most popular film of the year, probably the most popular film of the decade. It's already at the sixth most popular film ever. According to Box Office Mojo, they're up to $600 million in domestic box office receipts, $1.2 billion worldwide. And that's a lot, my friends. That puts at number six in the history of the American box office. The Last Jedi, another version of the Star Wars trilogy or the Star Wars series. And The Force Awakens, by the way, is the number one. It's edged out Avatar as the most popular film ever in the history of American filmmaking. The Force Awakens, number one now. Number six is The Last Jedi. Number two, of course, Avatar. And as a genre, of course, it's the Star Wars worldview. It's the Star Wars monism and the Avatar monist worldview that have created the greatest blockbusters of all time. Friends, again, you have to ask yourself, what church are we attending when we are stepping into these popular movies and realizing that Avatar and Star Wars both reflect something of a monist or at least a pantheist worldview in the case of Avatar, in which all is one, and there is absolutely no creator-creature distinction. There's actually no creature distinction either. So Avatar and Star Wars make up the three, four of the top six most popular films ever in the history of filmmaking in America. And so for that reason, I think it's important for us to analyze these worldviews when children just walk into the theaters and they just absorb whatever. And you find them walking out of your church 27 years later and you're asking yourself, what happened? Well, friends, if they've been attending a Muslim mosque and sitting at the feet of an imam for 27 years, there's a reason why they are leaving your Christian church. So just keep that in mind if they're not engaging the war of the worldviews. And they're walking out of the church, 60, 70, 80% of the millennial generation leaving their Reformed churches, leaving their Baptist churches, the fundamentalist churches. And you're saying, why are they leaving the churches when they have been attending a different church? That is, they've been sitting at the feet of the producers of Star Wars and Avatar for 27 years out of their life. Friends, they're getting a different religion. They're getting discipled in a different way of thinking. So again, this isn't just sci-fi. This is a self-consciously Eastern mystical approach or a monist approach that is escaping from the true reality of God. And this has dominated the box office for about 8 to 10 years. So
Kevin, when you say it's monism, I saw the most recent Star Wars, and I found myself moaning throughout the whole thing. It was just a rehash of the same thing. But what do you mean by monism? What is monism?
Well, let's talk about the basic worldview of Star Wars. In this particular movie, Luke levitates and projects an image of himself to a different location and actually fights Kylo in a different location as he exists in another location, and ultimately is a worldview that puts mind over matter. And Bill, let's talk about the mind over matter worldview just for a moment. I'd like to summarize the Buddhist view, where there's, of course, no supreme God, no self. The ultimate reality is sunyata, which is the void or the emptiness of formlessness, from which they say that everything has arisen, that is, everything's come out of this formlessness. And the belief is that the world is falling and rising, and peace will come with the cessation of rising and falling. And indeed, that happens with Luke Skywalker at some point in the movie. He finds his ultimate peace with the cessation of the rising and the falling. So there can be no joy or peace in formlessness because the self is not there, since there really is no self. But this is the metaphysic of monism, where there just is no distinction. when we say that, when we bring out a Christian metaphysic, what do we say? We say that there's one God and three persons. We call the Trinity the ultimate oneness and the ultimate manyness in one God. That is, we don't believe in a monist worldview that is all is one and that we are God ourselves because there is no distinction between creator and creature. We don't say that. Whereas the monist worldview says there's no distinction between creator and creature. And actually, there's no material spiritual distinction either. All is one. All is spiritual. And so the Eastern way of thinking is really an attempt to commit the suicide of the mind because all thoughts are inescapably revelational of true and living God. So what's happening here, make this as simple as we possibly can. Man is running away from God. Man is hiding from God in the garden, refuses to come face to face with his creator and acknowledge that he is in rebellion against God. And he's come up with many creative schemes whereby he can believe something else besides the existence of the true and living God. So this is what is going on, friends, in the monistic worldview. It's a rejection of the Trinity. Man is running away from God. Man is running away from true reality, and that is God. And he, of course, is denying the material world. Now, why the levitation? Why the mind over matter? Okay, here's how to explain why the mind over matter. You see, the goal in the monist worldview, in the Buddhist worldview, is to transcend the restrictions of the material world. And you say, why? Well, because the material world is not real. And thus, projection and levitation is an indication that the mind is no longer restricted. And all matter can be controlled by an enlightened mind, one that is in touch with the God or the mind within. All right, so that's the worldview. At the end of the day, there's no distinctions. There is no good and evil either. So the dark side, the light side, we talked about this a little bit on the program before, but there is no distinction between good and evil. The dark and the light sides are equally acceptable. So at the end of the day, Bill, if there's no difference between good and evil, there's no difference between the revolution and the more tyrannical, perhaps, empire, then why are they fighting?
Yeah, why would I want to be Luke when I can get a cooler costume by being Darth Vader?
There you go. Thank you. Yeah. What constitutes this justice or injustice when there is no distinction between what is right and what is wrong? What is the goal of humanity?
Yeah, monism states that basically, I am you, you are me, we are it, and us is them.
So there's no sense in fighting me because
you.
I am you.
You. Me.
There's no sense in fighting you because you are me.
And there's no let us all just get along.
Let us just all be the oneness that we are supposed to be in the spiritual reality of the oneness of all things. Okay, my friend. So it makes the entire movie useless. Of course, it makes the story useless. At the end of the day, the whole thing becomes meaningless. And so I guess the question that comes to my mind is, why are we watching these movies? Now, the question, could Christian children watch these movies, I think, is answered very simply, only if they understood everything that we just said.
Right. And we're not saying that you can't be entertained by a movie, but don't go to a movie to be entertained. You need to go to a movie and think your way through it, because movies teach people to think from a different worldview. And so putting children before that without proper training is extremely dangerous. It's like giving somebody a pistol or medicinal drugs and saying, here, do what you want to with this, without giving them proper training. And that's why worldviews matter. Worldviews affect everything from the most deep and penetrating questions that plague people to the entertainment that they choose to relieve their anxiety about the world around them.
Well, I remember the Far Side cartoon in which the child is in the living room. The little two-year-old is crawling near the snake pit, and the parents are warning each other about the snake pit and the child approaching the snake pit. And, of course, the question that arises in our minds is, why did those parents put that snake pit in the middle of the living room?
You know, right.
So I think we should remember that at points we probably shouldn't have our two-year-olds crawling anywhere near the snake pit, and we should probably shouldn't have a snake pit anywhere near our two-year-old children. These are the imams, the witch doctors that are teaching the new religion to America and the Western world. Who knows? Maybe evangelical churches will start using the movie clips to teach the new age worldview to their audiences. Who knows? But
rather than teaching about and how to recognize
New Age
world.
Thank you. The other aspect of this movie, The Last Jedi, the sixth most popular film of all time, that had just come out last month, my friends, is the feminist edge to it. Of course, the biggest feminist film of the year, or the biggest lesbian film of the year, was Wonder Woman. But this now, The Last Jedi, becomes the biggest feminist film, and the feminists are head over heels in love with this one. It's a bit of a feminist fest with very little artistic storytelling involved. As you mentioned, the reviewers found this thing to be a rather boring storyline that really never went anywhere, but it was a great vehicle to continue to educate the world towards feminism. And that is, feminism is ultimately the individuation of the family, destruction of the family, and the violation of the biblical ordinance that that the husband is head of the wife. So that's fundamentally what is being eroded in the minds of our 13 and 14 year old girls as they watch these movies and these films. My friends, you can thoroughly expect the unraveling of the Christian family in the years to come if the Christian family is sitting their children at the feet of feminists and they are receiving these messages. Daisy, Carrie, and Laura are the three actresses that are defending the universe from the bad guys in this film. Daisy, Carrie, and Laura. Daisy Ridley is the Jedi. Carrie Fisher is the commander of the entire resistance. And then there's Laura Dern, who apparently has some important leadership position in the resistance as well as Admiral Hulda in the film. Now, these, again, are the three most important figures in the resistance. That's, quote unquote, the good guys defending the universe from the bad guys. Of course, good and bad. Of course, there is no such thing as that in a Star Wars universe. But this is the Hunger Games motif one more time. Where you have the 17-year-old girl trying to save the world with her bow and arrow. All right, so again, pure silliness. But the ladies want to take everybody off to a safe planet somewhere. And there is a guy who's sort of opposed to that agenda in the movie, and evidently he tries to fight off the tyranny. But the women want their agenda and eventually get to the point where they take folks off to a safe planet. So, friends, this—
They have a safe space.
They got to have their safe space.
Which gets invaded by the, you know.
So it really doesn't work out as well.
It doesn't work out.
So, friends, this is what the last movies produced by a dying civilization looks like. When men walk off the reservation, as in The Grapes of Wrath, in which, you know, fundamentally that was what was going on in the 1920s and 1930s, as John Steinbeck realized that it was the abandonment of men from their family and from civilization that would be the undoing of human civilization. Well, that, my friends, of course, is what goes on in the breakdown of human civilization when it's the end of men and the demise of guys, when they walk away from the workplace, when women make more than 50% of the workplace in America today. When men walk off the reservation, they lose the will to defend the republic, and you're done. Put a fork in it, it's over. Even a macho president with a baseball bat isn't going to wake up 50 million guys, because we just can't get any of the guys to show up for the draft. They're too busy playing video games. They smoke too much peyote to engage in tribal warfare, okay? So this is how empires and republics fall apart. And this is, of course, the curse that God brings upon civilizations as he reveals it in Isaiah chapter 3. And again, my friends, if we've got to read the times correctly, let's be sure that as men of Issachar, we understand the times. God says in Isaiah 3, I will give children to be their princes and babes shall rule over them. As for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. Oh, my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your path. So that, my friends, is what happens. That's America today. We see the slow but sure erosion of men in a society, and that's the beginning of the end of any large empire. Now, of course, eventually decentralization and so forth, we reduce ourselves to smaller tribes and tribal warfare and so forth. That's pretty much the way humanity goes, generation after generation, year after year. All right, so the worldview also, I think we need to remind folks, is conveyed in the mode as well. So let's just keep that in mind. And Bill, I think that's the most insidious. I'm not sure that the average kid picks up on the lines and understands the nature of the force and so forth as much as they pick up on the mode. And as I think about the mode, where so much of the plot goes nowhere, and yet kids generally receive this? You know, it becomes a movie they watch for the feel of it. They're not really interested in the meaning of it anymore. They're not interested in the storyline. They're just, you know, interested in the coolness of the effects. And of course, the humor is postmodern meta-narrative, where, again, they're laughing at the viewers. The protagonists are mocking their own story. They're turning a drama into a self-effacing comedy, but it still sort of wants to be a drama and take itself seriously, but it really doesn't. So again, that my friends, is how modern film is working its way out and training the next generation to embrace the total meaninglessness of life and lead them to mass suicide.
Mass suicide intellectually, mass suicide everywhere. It's the end of thinking. It's the end of reality.
And it's the most popular film of the year and the sixth most popular film of all time. Now, friends, again, if your children cannot properly discern what's going on with the mode, the message, the worldview foundation, the tertiary worldview issues, the political agenda that's being shoved down their throats, if they're not able to pick up on these things, then get them out of the theater. Our major concern on this program is that our children be able to discern. Discernment is key, absolutely key. Thus, our children should be able to take down imaginations in every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in Christ. Let's be sure our children are discerning between that which is good, that which is evil, that which is true, and that which is false. And that's why I wrote the book, The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Say About Pop Culture. Yes, right now it's chaos out there. Our young people aren't well trained what the Word of God has to say about, well, just about everything, but certainly pop culture. So let's be sure that we're training our children to think through what God's law, God's word, God's view on metaphysics, God's definitions and descriptions of metaphysics, how these things should inform us and should point out the vanity and the self-destructiveness of worldviews that are crashing themselves into brick walls. And this is pretty much what's going on with mass culture right now. Be sure your children can discern these things. And that's why I would encourage you to the book, The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Say About Pop Culture.
And that's one of the reasons at Worldview Academy, at our camps, we do a movies night where we take clips of films and we show them the worldviews that are conveyed. And it's really interesting because you throw a clip on the screen and people recognize it immediately. And the vast majority of our students are homeschool students. So this, we're not talking to the culture absorbed students. Okay. We're talking to students who have grown up in Christian homes. So movies teach. Movies are not entertainment. They teach. They teach us to see the world from a different perspective, through a different worldview. And so it's imperative that we teach these things, and we have parents come and tell us, you have ruined family movie night for our family. Thank you.
And I'm guessing that's what people are saying right now.
Yeah, they say thank you.
You've ruined movie night, but thank you. At one point, we had comfortable detente with the world, but now we find that we must be engaging this battle. It's a full frontal battle, and we're going to engage it at every level. Let's be sure, friends, we are geared up to fight like crazy in the war of the world views for a Christian world and life view against those idols, those falsehoods that are being imposed upon us by mass culture. Let's engage the war of the world views every day as part of our Christian life. And of course, at the same time, we're fighting the world. Let's be sure we're loving the brothers and sisters in Christ as well. My friends, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. You can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews and Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Friday, January 19th, AD 2018. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Last week, Chinese officials used explosives to destroy a $2.6 million building belonging to the Golden Lampstand Church, one of China's largest evangelical churches, reports China Aid. Authorities said the church was operating illegally. The congregation of 50,000 has been targeted before by police and thugs. Multiple pastors in the church have been beaten, fined, and imprisoned for up to 7 years. Chinese Christians face new religious regulations going into effect next month. Despite man's demolition attempts, Jesus declared in Matthew 16:18, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." A Christian Iranian woman living in Sweden says she has seen nearly 1,500 Muslims come to Christ in the country over the last 5 years. Anahita Parson fled Iran as a Muslim refugee, making her way to Scandinavia, where people ministered the gospel to her. Parson converted to Christianity and focuses on evangelizing Muslims now. She told Fox News that her life is, quote, "completely different since coming to Jesus," end quote. Britain's Prime Minister Theresa May appointed Undersecretary Tracy Crouch on Wednesday to coordinate a government response to the issue of loneliness in the country, reports the New York Times. Research last year found 9 million people in Britain often or always feel lonely. Government data also showed around 200,000 elderly people have not spoken with a friend or relative for over a month. UK officials made no mention of the ministry of Jesus Christ in Luke 4:18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." In a recent edition of the journal Pediatrics, medical professionals from the U.S. and the Netherlands discussed the legalization of child euthanasia, reports Life News. A number of the Dutch contributors argued in favor of this form of murder, saying it should be left to the, quote, "beneficence of physicians," end quote, and that all age restrictions should be lifted. In the Netherlands, it's already legal to end the life of children between the ages of 12 and 18 with parental consent. Plus, a study found 431 lives were terminated without request in the country in 2015. Capital Ministries, founded by Ralph Drollinger, works to disciple political leaders across 200 nations, including having a Bible study with members of President Trump's cabinet. Cabinet member Ben Carson said the ministry's gospel proclamation is, quote, "more important than ever," end quote, as many try to minimize our Christian heritage. Another cabinet member, former Texas Governor Rick Perry, described his faith as, quote, "the core of who I am," end quote, in an interview on C-SPAN.
"When I came back home, 27 years old, and God kind of dealt with me, and I had the realization that, you know, all those things that I had learned really did have practical applications. And I re-engaged in my faith journey, and it's been a very, very important part of who I am, how I've tried to reflect my values to the people of the state of Texas, and in this case, the country."
Perry also praised Drollinger for the Trump cabinet Bible study.
"Ralph is a brilliant, knowledgeable Bible instructor. We have a Bible study, and we delve into deeply into Scripture. And this is the first time, I think, almost in 100 years that there's been a cabinet Bible study."
David said in 2 Samuel 23, verse 3, "The God of Israel said, 'The Rock of Israel spoke to me. He who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God.'" The Trump administration announced on Thursday the creation of a new religious freedom division of the Department of Health and Human Services to protect healthcare professionals from being pressured to participate in abortions, sex change operations, or other actions that violate their consciences. Roger Severino, the director of the HHS Civil Rights Office, stated, quote, "No one should be forced to choose between helping sick people and living by one's deepest moral or religious convictions. And the new division will help guarantee that victims of unlawful discrimination find justice." End quote. David and Louise Turpin of Paris, California, were arrested this week on 9 counts of torture and child endangerment after police found their 13 children had been captive and malnourished in their home, reports the Los Angeles Times. Authorities found out about the situation after a 17-year-old girl in the family escaped the house and called 911 on Sunday. The Turpins had registered with the state as homeschoolers. Scott Woodruff, senior counsel for the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, said the tempting response by California lawmakers of, quote, knee-jerk calls for more red tape burdens, end quote, would not be successful. Woodruff added, quote, "When people of goodwill have time to look at the data, they realize that homeschool laws are not the problem. We have not seen a clamping down in response to a very vivid case of tragic abuse," end quote. And finally, it was a first for an unmanned aircraft on Thursday when a drone helped rescue 2 teenage boys stuck in dangerous waters off the shore of Australia, reports ABC News. Lifeguards alerted to the situation launched a drone to deliver an inflatable rescue pod to the boys in just 70 seconds, where it would have taken a lifeguard 6 minutes to normally complete the rescue. And that's the Worldview in 5 minutes. On this Friday, January 19th, in the year of our Lord, 2018, subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.